I want to begin this message addressing the elephant in the room. Oh, that was ominous. And the elephant in the room is that tonight we are talking about wine, which is not allowed in a Baptist church. Baptists have a long tradition of not drinking wine, or by their laws and constitutions, allowing alcohol of any kind in the church building. So we are going to talk about something tonight that is banned in this church. And that's why I want to talk about it, because really that reality that we, in the Bible, we find lots of references to wine, many of them positive, although not entirely, but we are here in a church that doesn't allow it. That to me kind of represents that this reality that I think for many Christians, maybe especially Baptist ones, we can live our lives, and in particular, we can have a perspective on our faith where we feel bad about having good things. Have any of you had that feeling where you've experienced a good thing and then you've had this anxiety or this thought in your mind of like, should I be enjoying this? Am I enjoying this too much? Am I experiencing this in an unchristianly way because I've been taught to be sober-minded and sober-bodied? So have you ever experienced that? Have you ever felt bad for having a good thing? Yeah. Or maybe have you ever felt bad for being rich through no fault of your own? You just happen to have been born in the Shire or raised in the Shire. You moved to the Shire. Australia happens to be one of the wealthiest countries in the world. Sydney happens to be the wealthiest part of Australia. The Shire happens to be a reasonably wealthy part of Sydney. So how have you reconciled that? Have you felt bad about it? Kind of like this nagging thought of like, I know I'm rich and I also know I shouldn't be. Have you ever felt bad about having a good thing? Because I think for many Christians, actually our faith can produce in us a feeling of guilt about having good things. And in particular, if you enjoy them. That was one thing historically Baptists were very against. Too much enjoyment of things. So we can live our lives with a kind of generalized guilt about the things that we have, and in particular the good things that we have. And that's a problem. That is not actually the way that we are supposed to live as Christians. It actually, when we have good things, but rather than enjoy them, we feel bad about them. What that does is it just leaves us in this yucky middle place of just like this nagging guilt and diminished joy. And God would have us not live in that kind of place. God would have us live in a place that is actually one characterized by radical gratitude on the one hand and radical generosity on the other hand. And new wine symbolizes that. So in the Bible, new wine symbolizes God's blessing. Let me give you some examples. In Deuteronomy 7, It says, God will love you and bless you and increase your numbers. He will bless the fruit of your womb, the crops of your land, your grain, new wine, and olive oil, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks in the land he swore to give you. And a few chapters later, he says, if you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving you today to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and your soul, then I will send rain on your land, both autumn and spring rain, so that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your olive oil. I'll provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. So for the people of Israel in the Old Testament, when they had new wine, it was a sign to them of God's love, of God's provision, of God's blessing. It was something that they celebrated, that God was blessing their crops, giving them fruitfulness from their labors. And at the end of Deuteronomy, we hear these words. So Israel will live in safety. Jacob will dwell secure in a land of grain and new wine, where the heavens drop dew. So new wine in the Old Testament represents something that is really good. God is blessing his people. He's providing for them, and they're enjoying that. They celebrated that. And we know that new wine isn't the best tasting wine. The old wine is. But new wine represented in this immediate moment, God has blessed us. Our crops have borne fruit. We've harvested them, and we have an abundance of every good thing. And so, in Ecclesiastes, we find this kind of pondering where the writer of Ecclesiastes basically says the worst fate of all would be to have good things and yet not have the ability to enjoy them. So that would be the worst. Imagine how awful that would be, to toil, to work, and then to have good things, but not then have the ability to enjoy them. And so the writer of Ecclesiastes says this, "This is what I have observed to be good, that it is appropriate for a person to eat, to drink, and to find satisfaction in their toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given them, for this is their lot. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil, this is a gift of God. They seldom reflect on the days of their life because God keeps them occupied with gladness of heart." So that's wisdom, right? That's the wisdom that God had revealed to the writer of Ecclesiastes. What is a picture of a contented, joyful life? Well, it's someone who labors, receives fruit from their labors, and then is able to enjoy it with gratitude and receive it as a gift from God. And when we have good things but we feel bad about them, or we have this nagging guilt that as Christians we shouldn't have good things and we shouldn't enjoy them too much, what that robs us of is that response of radical gratitude to God that says, thank you. Thank you for this incredible gift. Thank you for the joy of seeing my labors bear fruit. Thank you for giving me the ability to enjoy this good thing that you've given me. And so that's where the writer of Ecclesiastes says, well, if you live that kind of life, isn't it interesting? It says, those people seldom reflect on the days of their life because God keeps them occupied with gladness. How good's that? So you're not just sitting around like, am I doing the right thing? Oh, I regret that. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. That was too much. Oh, what's my life about? Actually, you're just content to be glad with God in each moment. So let me ask you, does that characterize your life? Do you live your life with radical gratitude? When you think about all the good things that God has given you, do you experience them with joy? Do you experience them with thankfulness in your heart, saying, God, thank you for what you've given me? Can I experience it with you as much as I acknowledge that I've received this from you? That's what God would want us to do. Can you imagine how ungrateful it must seem sometimes when God gives us good things and we're just like, I'm just going to limit my enjoyment of that, if that's okay, because my understanding is that's what you want. It's not the heart of God. God's like, when I give you a good thing, enjoy it, make the most of it. Thank me for it. This is how it's supposed to work. So what we're going to do a little bit later is you see up on these walls some paper, and we've got some pens there on the stools, and we're just going to have a moment of gratitude where you can come up and grab a colored pen and just write about things that you are grateful for. Because I think sometimes we can actually lose the habit of it, especially with God. We had a moment today in the mountains with the young adults, and some of us got up at for 7 a.m. prayer at a lookout in Katoomba. And we were there, and it was this incredible sight, and like the fog was rolling over. What's the difference between fog and mist? I don't know. The fog was rolling over and kind of filling the valley, and the sun was coming up behind us. And then as the fog kind of rolls over and the sun hits it from behind us, we just see this rainbow just formed in the middle of the valley. It was like a double rainbow. It almost made it the entire way around. And we were actually in the middle of praying at that moment. And everyone just stopped praying. It was just like, what? Are you seeing this? And then, because the sun was coming up behind us, we kind of had this theory that like our shadows could be seen out in the valley. And when this fog kind of rolled in and the rainbow formed, a few of us, Liam led the charge, standing up on a little compass elevated bit there, and our silhouettes were projected. Remember, sun's here, fog's out there. Our silhouettes were projected right to the center of the rainbows in the fog in the middle of the valley. It was like blowing our minds. And we were like walking around and watching our silhouettes like just moving around in this cloud. And that was a moment where we were just like, God, you are ridiculous. Like, what an incredible blessing that we would just get up early and meet for prayer and then just see just this mind-blowing demonstration of his beauty. And so then that naturally results in praise, right? Thank you, God. Thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for showing us this. And a sense of his presence. And that's what God wants for us with every blessing, with every provision, whether it's a provision of work, whether it's a provision of home, whether it's a provision of health or of financial resources or friendships or whatever it is. Whenever we receive something from God, he's just wanting us to receive it with joy and gratitude and with love and praise. So we're going to have a little moment. We can do that in this service. But the other aspect of this, to get us out of this middle ground of kind of the generalized guilt about having good things, the first step is radical gratitude. The second is radical generosity. And so this is where new wine comes in again. Because the people were called to do things with their crop, with their harvest. And there was one thing they were called to. This is the share due the priests from the people in Deuteronomy 18. You are to give the priests the first fruits of your grain, new wine, and olive oil, and the first wool from the shearing of your sheep. For the Lord your God has chosen them and their descendants out of all your tribes to stand and minister in the Lord's name always. So the people were called to give the first fruits, so the first crop, the first harvest, to God's servants, who in that particular moment were the priests, as a recognition that they had received this from God. The first part of it went to his servants, the priests. And then, Deuteronomy 14, be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. Eat the tithe of your grain, new wine, and olive oil, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks in the presence of the Lord your God, at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name, so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. Plot twist. Now, you guys, I'm assuming a lot of you have heard of the tithe before. So in the Old Testament, people were called to give a tenth of whatever their labors had produced. Did you know that when they gathered up that tithe, they then ate it? Isn't that interesting? So it's like, take a tenth of what you have produced, and rather than selling it or eating it in your own home, bring it into the place of the Lord and eat it together. Eat it as a celebration. Eat it with joy. Eat it as family. Eat it as the people of God together, acknowledging God's gifts to them. So again, even this idea of the tenth, the tithe, and there are other places that this is talked about, there are other ways that the people gave, but in this instant, this generosity is tied to their gratitude. So it's not like enjoy it and then with a sober mind and a serious religious conscience give a tenth of it away even though you don't want to. It's actually in your gratitude, bring it together and together enjoy it as God's people, and also remember to give some of it to the priests and some of it to those who are laboring for the Lord. So again, even in the context of gratitude, we see this act of generosity. And this is far from this like this yucky middle of having good things and not enjoying them. And later, when King Hezekiah came and the people of Israel hadn't been doing this for a long time, and he reinstituted it, we see this record that when the people heard that they were called to give a tenth of their wine and oil and crops and produce, that they brought it with great joy. And that's the kind of life that we're called to live. We're called to live people who have such incredible gratitude and joy and enjoyment of the good things of God that we want to share it with each other. Firstly, it's the family of God, with those who are laboring with God, but also with others. That we would be radically generous. And I think when we can be both radically grateful and radically generous, it takes us out of that feeling of guilt, like, oh, I have this and I shouldn't, or I feel bad about it. And that's God's gift to us. In 1 Timothy 6, it says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. So the first new thing I want to introduce to us as part of this series is a new perspective on our religion, is a new perspective on what it means to be Baptists. Now, I can't change our bylaws. I don't know if or when we will be allowed to actually drink wine in this building. But I do believe, as a gathered people who love the Lord and want to live for Him, we can embrace this idea that rather than being like rich Christians who feel bad for it, or rather than getting good things and being like, oh, I try not to enjoy it too much, that we can actually be a people who are overflowing with joy because of God's provision to us. And in the overflowing of joy and gratitude, we are radically generous to other people. Beyond a number, tenth, first fruits. There were so many different kinds of offerings in the Old Testament. What matters is our heart, that we would recognize the opportunity we have because of God's provision to us to bless and provide for others that they may share in our joy. That's the gift that God gives us. So, also in this series, we're trying to keep our sermons short. So I'm finished. And what we're going to do is I'm going to give you a chance to have a moment of gratitude. So you may want to just talk to God about that. But I want to encourage you, all of you, if you can, if you're able, to come up and at some point grab a pen and just start writing things that you are grateful to God for, about the good things that He's given you and provided you with and blessed you with. And then, once you've done that, I want you to take a moment to think about how can you, as a believer in Jesus, overflow with generosity to others so that you can be not only someone who receives from God, but someone who gives in the name of God, so that others can experience that blessing as well. So, Sam, do you want to put a music CD, something? Just vibe it, pick an appropriate song, joyful, celebratory, grateful, generous. Sam will know. All right. So let's do it. Let's be grateful to God. All right. So walls are there, pens are there, God's here. Go for it. Express your gratitude and then consider your generosity. So if you've expressed gratitude, don't forget the generosity part. So with the things that you are grateful for, friendships, family, a church community, a home, finances, those kinds of things, how can you share them with other people? That's what generosity is not just holding things for your own enjoyment, but wanting to share with others. So how can you share your friendships with maybe people who don't have friends? How can you share your family with people who don't have family? How can you share your home with people who don't have home? How can you share your finances with people who don't have it? As well as that kind of generalized guilt, I think one other response we can have when we receive good things is to be greedy and not satisfied with it. So we get a taste of a good thing, and then we're like, I want more of that. And so rather than just receive a good thing from God with contentment, we just become hungry for that thing and more of that thing apart from God. And actually, there's a verse in 2 Corinthians 9 which calls us to something else. It says, now he, which is God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So there the Apostle Paul is actually calling us to a different kind of greed. Not a greed that we would have more and more for ourselves, but a greed that we would have more and more so that we can be more and more generous to others. And that's a beautiful thing, because so often we can feel overwhelmed by the needs of the world, or the church, or the people around us. But God says, hey, as you develop in you a heart of generosity to others, don't worry about ever running out. God himself will continue to provide more and more for you so that you can be more and more generous. That's God's heart, to continue to give us good things, not so that we can feel guilty about them or become greedy and fixated on them, but that we can overflow with radical generosity to everyone in our life. Let me pray for us, and the band are going to come up and we'll close our service. God, thank you that you are a good God. Thank you that you have blessed us with so many good things. God, would you give us the ability to enjoy them with gratitude, with thankfulness, with praise, acknowledging your goodness to us? Would you protect us, God, from becoming greedy for them for our own sake, of loving your gifts more than you, the giver? And God, would you stir in us, alongside our joy and gratitude for you, would you stir in us a radical generosity, that we would want to share the good things you've given us with others, that we would want to share them with God's people gathered together, that we would want to share them in generosity towards those who are laboring for the gospel here and around the world. God, would you stir that heart of generosity, that we may experience a greater joy and a greater provision as we give, as you've given to us. I praise in Jesus' name.